Shalom, Shalom, Jerusalem. Peace be to you. When Messiah comes to take us home, may his praise be found.
Greetings, this is Don Esposito for Search the Scriptures, coming to you from Galilee, Israel. And wow, what a time we're living in. And so much is going on in world news. Where do we even start? Well, I think I want to start today in Matthew, the 24th chapter, because I want to go into a series about end time events and going into what is happening in world events with end time events. So I want to start today in Matthew 24. And it says, "In going out, Yeshua left the sanctuary, and his disciples came to show him the construction of the sanctuary. But Yeshua said to him, 'Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there will not at all be left one stone on a stone, which in no way will be thrown down.' And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what is the sign of your coming in the end of the age?'" That's what everybody is asking, right? "When is the kingdom of Yahweh coming?" And answering, Yeshua said to them, "See that no man deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will cause many to be deceived. For you are bound to hear of revolutions and rumors of wars. Watch out and do not be disturbed. For it is necessary that all these things will happen, but it is not yet the end. For nation will be raised against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and plagues and earthquakes against many places. But all these are a beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to affliction and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And then many will be offended, and they will deliver up one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will be raised and will deceive many. And because lawlessness shall have been multiplied, the love of many will wax cold. But the one who endures to the end, that one will have eternal life. And this good news of the kingdom will be published in all the earth for a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come." I do believe that the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem and myself from Jerusalem, Israel, is in at least in part fulfilling this last scripture in Matthew 24:14 with our Hebraic roots Bible, having our Heavenly Father bless us with the fact of restoring that Bible back to as close to the original as it was almost 2,000 years ago. And we are sending that Bible around the world. We get currently around 1 million downloads a year on that Bible, and we are doing this. But many, many other things I was reading here in Matthew 24. Wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, affliction, you know, persecution and martyrism, all these things. And what I'm thinking about is, because in a half an hour program, we can only barely scratch the surface of these things, I'm thinking that I will do a program on each of these. That we'll have a program on ISIS and persecution to believers that's going on. We'll have a program on the coming World War III between Russia, United States, China, that is currently in the making, being prepared for that. We'll have a program on famines that are going around the world, how many people are dying from them, and earthquakes. We just had the major 7.8 earthquake this week, and a great rise of earthquakes all over the earth, all over the globe, where we can go into statistics and talk about why there are so many earthquakes and the time that we're living in. And then also, like I said, about this good news going all over the world, that we can talk about that and how we're doing that and how we're fulfilling this. But my friends, as we see prophecy coming around and prophecy being fulfilled, I don't think anybody can doubt that we are very, very close to these days that are being talked about here. Today, though, I want to talk about another end-time scripture and how that is being fulfilled in our day, because something very, very interesting is happening in the days we're living in. And I want to go to Daniel 12, in verse 4. He says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the end of time. Many shall travel back and forth, and knowledge will be increased." Now, here it is right here. We see that this one scripture that we see here, many will travel back and forth and knowledge will be increased, has never in the history of mankind since the days that Adam and Eve were created, has it ever been this way. And there's something called the normalcy bias, that because things are seem normal to us, because every day you live a certain way and you do a certain thing, that you think that it's normal. You think that this is the way it's always been. Excuse me. And there's a normalcy bias that comes in. But if our world is anything but it's normal, because think about it, just until a little over 100 years ago, in the Industrial Revolution, when the car was created, and the engine, and airplanes, from the days of Adam and Eve until about 100 years ago, for almost 5,900 years of the civilization of mankind, people worked at their homes or very close because there was no way to get away. And by making automobiles and making trains and airplanes, it's enabled people to travel around the world and really recreate the Tower of Babel all over again, of all the languages of the world really coming together through the internet, you know, and becoming one. But I want to talk about one specific aspect of this scripture in Daniel 12. Not necessarily the people traveling around the world, that's something we always see, but the knowledge being increased. And this is two ways. It's talking about, of course, physical knowledge of human beings, but also spiritual knowledge. There's more things we know today, more things we'll get into today and talk about in programs that the people in the Bible would have only dreamed to know about. You know, there's even a scripture in Luke that says that the kings and prophets would have loved to know what you know, and they didn't know. But I do want to talk today about a piece of physical knowledge that has been created, something that on the surface may seem like it's wonderful and great. But I want to talk about this because it is something that I believe is fulfilling prophecy and something that will lead to the mark of the beast and really the return of Yeshua to the earth. And it's something called the Large Hadron Collider. The Large Hadron Collider. What is the Large Hadron Collider? The Large Hadron Collider is a 27-mile-kilometer circle, gigantic collider made out of, you know, metal and magnets and all these things that was created in Switzerland, right on the very area where Apollos had his altar. They had the altar to Apollos. The company CERN, C-E-R-N, who created this Hadron Collider with some of the most smartest scientific minds in the world, had specifically put all this together. They specifically built this where the altar of Apollo is. They, if you go to the company, they have of a pagan idol of Krishna in front of the company, you know, with all these paths of light, and everything is being done through paganism. But that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it isn't just that they're worshiping pagan deities and pagan idols through this Hadron Collider. The thing is that this collider is made to break down matter. It's made to be able to take humankind and human technology into another dimension. It really is something out of science fiction. So I want to play a little clip to you here, so you can understand a little bit about this Hadron Collider.
Below this field is one of the most complicated machines ever built. A real-life time machine. Buried hundreds of meters beneath the French-Swiss border. This machine will shoot beams of energy around a 27-kilometer-long loop, smash those beams of energy together again at the end. This giant loop is the track for the world's newest particle accelerator, the Large Hadron Collider, or LHC. It's designed to peer into the origins of the universe and is the brainchild of 6,000 of the world's top scientific minds. Jeff Taylor is the head of physics at Melbourne University, but here in Switzerland, he's a key contributor to the LHC project.
As we come into this new era with the Large Hadron Collider, we are going to be discovering aspects of nature which we couldn't have dreamed of in the past. This is really the most exciting period for physicists, for scientists, since the beginning of the 20th century.
It's been a long time coming. We have constructed this for many, many years, and to suddenly go into this phase where really everything starts to come together and starts to click into each other and to really work as a whole is immensely exciting.
Atlas is the name of the giant detector at the heart of the project. It's being built underground in a 6-story deep construction pit filled with the world's biggest magnets, layered by 3,000 kilometers of wiring, and all weighing 7,000 tons. All of this so that protons, the heaviest part of the atom, can be smashed at near the speed of light inside the machine, creating conditions that haven't existed since a trillionth of a second after the birth of the universe.
It is a machine which operates at a temperature of 1.9 degrees Kelvin.
Which in Celsius terms?
Which is minus 271 degrees.
The collider lives at the CERN laboratory outside of Geneva. CERN buzzes. It requires its own relay station to power the collider, and above that you'll catch the intellectual hum of the world's best scientists.
At the CERN cafeteria, sometimes there are 5 Nobel Prize winners eating with students and postdocs and other staff members. It's a very, very rich environment, and it's a very testing environment. The students work very, very hard, but it's very inspiring.
At the cafeteria, I meet the head of the Atlas project. Peter Jenny tells me that when the machine gets turned on early next year, anything could happen.
We have pretty exciting ideas from theory what could happen, but the most exciting for an experimentalist would be that actually something which nobody has foreseen could be discovered. It's really going into a new land in a way. Sometimes people say it's like when people explore the new territories. Columbus did find something exciting, not India, but something else, and maybe something like that may happen.
Science is...
So here we see that this Hadron Collider, it's not just about breaking down atoms, you know, or breaking down molecules. It's not just scientists getting together trying to figure things out. Literally, they are trying to take technology to a whole other level. Because what they're planning on doing, and this collider was down for 2 years, they were fixing it, and now it just got back running right after, or let's say right before Passover this year, interesting enough, right at the third of the Blood Moon series, and it will be running for the next 6 months until Yom Kippur, where they're testing this and getting these molecules to go to certain space, where then they are going to try for the very first time to break through black hole, and not knowing what's going to happen here. Listen to this clip from RT, Russia Today, where they talked about what's coming here.
In Switzerland are attempting to disprove everything we think we know about, well,
everything. Researchers with the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or CERN, are in the process of restarting the world's biggest particle accelerator. Known as the Large Hadron Collider, the restart comes after 2 years after the machine discovered the Higgs boson, or God particle, which is believed to be the key to how particles get their mass. But now scientists want to use the machine to disprove the Big Bang theory of the universe by discovering miniature black holes, which would in turn reveal parallel universes. And it only gets weirder from there. See, according to the scientist, if these black holes are detected at a particular energy, it would prove an alternate existence theory, or known as rainbow gravity, which posits that the universe stretches back in time infinitely with no origin point like the Big Bang. No word yet on whether Doctor Who will be available when scientists actually rip a hole in the space-time continuum. But we can hope.
Man, I mean, it plays right into kind of what you were talking about before we even hit that. That is, I mean, the Hadron Collider is something that, like, I know a lot of people are scared of. There was, like, an Onion article that a, you know, time traveler came back and warned us about it. But, you know, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the Hadron Collider, John. Like, where do you sit on this thing? Is it dangerous? What do you think?
You know, I mean, as Tabitha pointed out, like, the question obviously is, are these guys up to some nefarious, you know, plan to create a mini black hole? And if that then, you know, gets out of control, then does it gobble up, you know, the entire planet as a result? You know, I'm not particularly concerned about that. I do actually have faith that they're, you know, they have a certain understanding of what they're trying to achieve. And I think, as I've said before, the point is that we're really just at the basis of understanding our reality and our existence here. So the more that we can to endeavor using things like the Hadron Collider, you know, the more exciting I think our future will be.
And I totally agree. I mean, it's part of the human condition and experience to push forward in life. That is the most important thing for us and who we are as a people, is to keep pushing forward and keep pushing our boundaries safely, but keep pushing our boundaries as you know, mankind, humankind.
Oh, yeah. That's what mankind wants to do. He wants to keep pushing his boundaries. He wants to keep pushing his boundaries. But do you realize what they're trying to do? Literally, everybody that believes in our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, knows Yahweh does not dwell in this universe. You can't go in a spaceship and keep going up and pass Mercury and Mars and Pluto and then get to the planet where Yahweh's throne is. No, Yahweh lives in another dimension. Yahweh lives in a dimension, a spiritual dimension, a dimension that mankind is not allowed to enter. And this is what this is all about. It's about mankind trying to get through, they call them these wormholes, by going through these black holes into another dimension where Yahweh and the spirit world exist. Now, we know up to this point Yahweh never allowed this to happen before, but we do know in the end that this is going to be allowed to happen. I want to go to Revelation, the 9th chapter, and I want to read to you where I believe the Hadron Collider is leading mankind to. And the fifth cherub trumpeted, and I saw a star out of the heaven falling to the earth. Stars represent angels or fallen angels. And the key to the pit of the abyss was given to it. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and smoke went up out of the pit like smoke of a great furnace. And the sun was darkened in the air by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke, locusts came forth to the earth. These were demons. And authority was given to them, as the scorpions of the earth have authority. And it was said to them that they should not harm the grass of the earth, nor every green thing, nor every tree, except only the men who do not have the seal of Yahweh on their foreheads. And it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment is as the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death, and they will not find it, and they will long to die, yet death will flee from them. And the likeness of the locusts were like horses having been prepared for war, and they had crowns on their head like gold, and their faces were like faces of men, and their hair was like the hair of women, and their teeth were like the teeth of lions. And they have breastplates like iron breastplates, and the sound of their wings like the sound of chariots and many horses running to war. And they have tails like scorpions, and their stings are in their tails, and their authority is to harm men 5 months. And they have a king over them, the cherub of the abyss. In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, and in Greek, his name is Apollyon. In Aramaic, his name is Breaker, the one who breaks. The first woe is past. Behold, after these things, two more woes come. So we see that there is a fifth cherub coming down from heaven. He has the key to the abyss. Is the Hadron Collider getting ready to bring man to open up the abyss? Interesting enough is that these scientists, the greatest minds in the world, some of these scientists are saying that beings from outer space, beings from another dimension, are giving them the technology on how to do this, on how to get from one universe into another universe. And that's like the man was saying in the interview. That's what man wants to do. He wants to press his limits. The Garden of Eden all over again. You know, if you remember in the Garden of Eden, what did Satan, the serpent, say to Adam and Eve? Aren't you allowed to eat of every tree of the garden? And they say, well, not the tree in the midst of the garden, because we're not allowed to touch it or we'll die, or to eat the fruit. And what did the woman say? What did the serpent say to the woman? The serpent in Genesis 3 and verse 4 said, surely you will not die, for Elohim knows in the day you eat of it, even your eyes will be opened and you will be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. And for 6,000 years, mankind has tried to bring his own interpretation of good and evil to this world. He perverts that abortion is a woman's right to choose, that homosexuality is a lifestyle choice. And he perverts the eternal Torah of our Heavenly Father Yahweh, his eternal character, into his own way of choosing good and evil. If we go over to the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, we see over here, who was the one who was trying to go to the throne of Yahweh? In verse 12, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you have fallen from the heavens, you weakening the nations. You are cut down to the ground, for you have said in your heart, I will go up to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of El, and I will sit in the mountain of appointment in the sides of the north. I will rise over the heights of the clouds. I will be compared to El Elyon. El, the Most High, Yahweh, the Most High. And he says that you'll go down to Sheol, to the sides of the pit. So we see here that what man is trying to do in Switzerland with this Hadron Collider is he is going to areas that Yahweh is going to bring the destruction and will bring his kingdom. But the fact that they have this technology, the fact that possibly even later this year they may break through that black hole and get to this and open up the pit of these demons that have been chained there since almost the beginning of creation, tells us something very, very scary. I want to play a very short clip here from a man called Richard Seed, from part of this whole process of CERN, and who's involved in the division of human cloning. Now listen to what he says.
We are going to become gods. Period. If you don't like it, get off. You don't have to contribute. You don't have to participate. But if you're going to interfere with me becoming God, we'll have big trouble. Okay, we'll have warfare.
Did you hear that? Did you hear what he said? Very clearly, what their intention is to be. It's not intention of just trying to make the world a better place, to educate ourselves a little more. The intention of mankind is very clear, to become his own God. That mankind doesn't want to be under the authority of Yahweh, the only true Elohim of heaven, but mankind wants to become his own God. And literally, that's what Satan will allow. Because Satan doesn't care if you worship him, as long as you're not worshiping Yahweh. So we are in a very serious situation. I want to go to one more scripture here in Jeremiah, the 51st chapter. Jeremiah 51, talking about Babylon. In the fall of Babylon, we have other programs we've done, clearly showing a whole series on America being end time Babylon. You can go to the website at www.cohyhwh.com in the radio section, and you could always listen to those messages. But Jeremiah 51, in verse 17, when it's talking about Babylon, it says, every man is foolish in knowledge, every refiner is put to shame by idols. For his cast image is a lie, and no breath is in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. And that's the point. Mankind may think that he's smart. Mankind may think that he's able to pull one over on Yahweh. But mankind is not as smart as he thinks. And even though with this Hadron Collider, like I said, being that's built in Switzerland in an occultic area, you know, where they're worshiping these false deities like Apollo, and they're doing all this very, very evil paganism, and they're thinking they're being rewarded by the demons giving them the technology on how to get through these wormholes and actually get over into this other dimension, this other spirit world, and not knowing the consequences that will come out of it. And the consequences are that these demons will be let out and prophecy of Revelation will be getting fulfilled. So I think it's something that you may want to check into with the Hadron Collider. The other interesting thing is what they said was before, they talked about the what they called the God particle, but now they're saying that they're going to prove through this collider that the Big Bang Theory is false, which it is, and that the universe is eternal, which it is, which we know that, but they're not doing it for a good reason. They're doing it for reasons that we know that Yahweh will punish mankind for it. So we are almost out of time here, but like I said, you can check this out on your own and look into some of the things that are happening with it. And in our next program, we'll get into more things of end time events and things that are happening now to show us how close we're getting to the end of mankind's own rule, of his own civilization, and the soon coming kingdom of Yahweh to this earth. So we don't say it's the end of the world. No, the Bible says that it's world without end. It's the end of man's world, but the beginning of the kingdom of Yahweh. I am Don Esposito, and we are the Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. This radio broadcast is coming to you directly from Galilee, Israel, where our ministry is based out of here in Jerusalem, where we have the three pilgrim feasts every year of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, and we invite you to come and spend a feast with us. Coming to Israel will change your life, and you'll never read the Bible the same again. You could go to our website, www.coyhwh.com, and you could check us out in the radio section. You can go to any program that we've had in the past, and you can listen to it again. If you want to write us, you can write to P.O. Box 832 in Carteret, C-A-R-T-E-R-E-T, New Jersey, 07008 in the USA, where we get our mail, and it's transferred over here to Israel. So may Yahweh bless you, and until the next time, this is Don Esposito for Search the Scriptures.
Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Peace be to you. When Messiah comes to take us home, may his praise be found.